As the year comes to a close, we're asking for your help to keep WSHU strong in 2026. With the loss of federal funding, your year-end gift will ensure we can continue bringing you the trusted journalism and inspiring music you count on every day. Go to WSHU.org or call 800-777-9748. Thank you for your support.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed legislation to ban horseshoe crab harvesting. The commercial fishing industry has used horseshoe crabs for bait, and their blood is used in biomedical research. Adrian Esposito is with the Long Island-based environmental advocacy group, Citizens Campaign for the Environment.
This is an archaic practice whose time has come for it to end. And the horseshoe crabs have roamed the earth for 350 million years, and we believe they need to be able to continue to do so.
The ban will be phased in over 3 years. Connecticut enacted a similar law in 2023. This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik drops out of the race for governor of New York. The Houston Rockets are in talks to buy the Connecticut Sun. The results are in from a series of town halls on bear encounters in our region. Plus, luge athletes from around the world were in upstate New York over the weekend. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. President Trump over the weekend endorsed Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman for New York governor. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio reports the move came one day after Blakeman's only challenger dropped out of the primary race.
Trump called Blakeman a fantastic guy on social media Saturday night, saying he'll win the general election and, quote, without hesitation, he has my complete and total endorsement for governor of the once great state of New York. Congresswoman Elise Stefanik of New York abruptly ended her primary run late Friday, clearing the path for Blakeman to become the Republican nominee. Blakeman said in a statement he and Trump will be partners in making New York safe and affordable. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
The Houston Rockets are in serious talks to buy and relocate the Connecticut Sun. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports.
The Mohegan Tribe has been exploring the sale of their WNBA team for more than a year. They had serious bids from investors in Connecticut and Boston. But the league, which has to approve the sale, seemed to want the team to move to Houston, even if their bid wasn't as strong. According to ESPN, the Rockets have improved their bid to a price the Sun might find acceptable. The talks have been described as positive, but the two groups are not in an exclusivity period. The Mohegan Tribe has owned the team since 2000. If they sell, Connecticut will lose its only fully professional sports team. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Governor Hochul has once again vetoed a bill that would have granted state recognition to the Montaukett Indian Nation on Long Island. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
It's the fourth time that Hochul has vetoed the bill after it passed by the state legislature. Each time she cited the 1910 state Supreme Court ruling for her decision, which originally stripped the tribe of their recognition. Montaukett tribe leaders told Newsday they are incredibly upset by the decision. Efforts have been made by the tribe since 2013 to gain recognition, but similar bills were vetoed by then-Governor Andrew Cuomo, who said the tribe lacked enough documentation. The tribe spent years putting together the tribe's complete history for the governor. The veto means that the tribe will be ineligible for some state programs for recognized indigenous tribes. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
New Yorkers' eyes turned north over the weekend as a major international competition unfolded in Lake Placid. That story is coming up. Vocal support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Catherine Casey Quigley, the Southold Town Democratic Committee chairwoman, is looking to unseat Rich Schaefer, the longtime leader of the Suffolk County Democratic Committee. If elected, she says she'll work to recruit candidates to flip the Republican majority in the county legislature, as well as for New York's 1st and 2nd congressional districts, both held by Republicans. Schaefer is also Babylon Town Supervisor, the longest-serving supervisor in town history. A Norwich, Connecticut man has filed a lawsuit against Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas, claiming he was illegally denied a spot on a special election ballot. Mark Adams of the Independent Party wants to fill the seat of the late state representative Kevin Ryan. At issue is the lack of a wet signature on his paperwork. Adams had submitted a photocopy. Four members of the MS-13 gang, including two leaders, were convicted Friday in federal court for the murder of four men on Long Island and in Queens. They were also convicted of federal racketeering charges. They now face mandatory life imprisonment. Human-bear conflicts and bear home entries are on the rise in Connecticut, and the state recently held a series of public town hall meetings to hear ways residents believe the issue should be addressed. The New England News Collaborative's Chris Polanski reports from a West Hartford town hall.
Kathy Arkey of West Hartford showed up to the listening session wearing a shirt with black bears on it.
I just want to protect the bears, really. I just love them, you know, so much. I'm not really, I should be afraid of them. I'm not afraid of them. I've had many encounters with them.
Arkey thinks the solution is to provide better education on how to live around bears, like keeping trash inside. Others think the solution is a bear hunt. Connecticut is an outlier in the Northeast in not allowing the hunting of bears, and some say that drives the high rate of home entries and conflicts. Mark Salinas of Harwinton raises goats and chickens. He says bears go after his livestock and damage his fences at great expense to him.
As it stands, under current law, the bear population is just going to keep rising, and that probability for me gets worse and worse and worse. And I'm paying for the privilege so that no one else, you saw the emotions, they run high, but I am paying to assuage everyone else's emotions, and so are my neighbors.
The State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, or DEEP, says it will use comments collected at the meetings to develop its bear management plan. DEEP currently supports legalizing bear hunting in Connecticut. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Chris Polanski.
The best luge athletes from all around the globe were in Lake Placid over the weekend. They were competing at the World Cup, one of the few opportunities that athletes have to qualify for the upcoming Olympics. And this weekend was also a little dramatic because it was the first time since the start of the war in Ukraine that Russian athletes were cleared to compete on the world stage. The New York Public News Network's Emily Russell was at the World Cup event and brings us the story.
The luge track in Lake Placid is known for its tight turns that test the skills of each slider. Ukrainian Anton Dukosh flies down the icy track at more than 70 miles an hour.
He's made his way down through Cliffside and into the Whiteface Curve, entering the Devil's Highway at 18.509.
A fan waves a blue and yellow Ukrainian flag as Dukosh crosses the finish line. Dukosh raced on Thursday and again in the men's singles race on Saturday. Ultimately, he's hoping to qualify this season for his third Olympics.
I'm very proud to represent my country, to win some medals, to show my friends who are doing military service to defend us that we are competing, we are strong, we are trying to show the world that we are fighting.
The World Cup in Lake Placid has taken on a new meaning for Dukosh and the other Ukrainians. It's the first time since the war began that they're competing alongside Russian athletes. The war continues to impact Dukosh's hometown in Ukraine.
Almost every week, shelling by Russian rockets, and also my apartment was damaged by a Russian rocket.
The International Luge Federation, known as the FIL, banned Russia back in 2022. Then, this season, it adopted guidelines set by the International Olympic Committee. Russians are now allowed to compete under a neutral flag if an independent panel deems them neutral. Dukosh doesn't think Russians should be allowed to compete at all.
I call them so-called neutral because they are not neutral. We have many proofs of their not neutrality.
The FIL initially cleared six Russian athletes for the World Cup in Lake Placid. Then, just a few days before the races began, three were disqualified. The FIL hasn't released details of its decision, but the Secretary General, Dwight Bell, explains what could disqualify Russian athletes.
It could be social media posts, it could be statements made, it could be attending events that are supportive of the aggression in Ukraine. So it could be any number of things that would demonstrate not being neutral.
The Russian team declined to be interviewed for this story. For nearly as long as the Olympics have existed, they've been impacted by wars and political controversies. Margaret Dangler from the FIL says that's just the reality of international sports.
In a perfect world, politics would not impact sports. But we are not in a perfect world.
From the neutral nations, this is Daria Olisik.
Olisik is one of the three Russians remaining at this World Cup. She finished fourth in the qualifying race on Thursday.
That's a very impressive run considering how little time this athlete has spent here on this track.
Carrie Britcher is cheering on from the finish line. Her daughter, Summer, is a top luge athlete for the USA. But Britcher says she's supporting all the racers here this weekend, including the Russians. She thinks it's unfair that some were disqualified just days before the World Cup.
They have hopes. They have dreams. They're training all their lives to make the Olympic team, only to be banned because they have a dictator that might be doing some bad things.
This sport is so fast and dangerous that most folks here are glued to the action unfolding in front of them. A group of local school kids cheers on the Americans. American luge athlete Sophia Kirkby says the other racers she's talked to in Lake Placid really aren't focused on the Russian drama.
Everyone's main focus is how do I get down this track and how do I not hit walls, how do I not crash, and how do I try and produce a fast time.
The World Cup in Lake Placid is one of just a handful of qualifying races ahead of the upcoming Winter Olympics. In Lake Placid, I'm Emily Russell for the New York Public News Network.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or download the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And for even more from us, join us over on Instagram. We'd love to connect with you on there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you for listening. I'll speak to you tomorrow.